This is gonna be cool.
The topics and opinions expressed on the Dudes and Beer podcast are intended for an audience of 18 and up and are solely those of the host and guests. They neither reflect the opinions or values of either the sponsors of Dudes and Beer or your mother. I mean, seriously. Have you ever heard these guys? They'll talk about anything.
Whoa, hey, you think they're gonna show it?
They'll probably just blur it out.
Whoa, check it out, Beavis.
Get ready to sit back, relax, and open your mind. Welcome to Thinking Deeply with Dudes and Beer.
Well, hello everybody. How are you today? I am Chris Jordan, host of Dudes and Beer. Welcome to our new segment that we have called Thinking Deeply. We promised y'all here recently that we would start bringing you a lot more new content, and Thinking Deeply is one of those. It's really just a chance for me to sit back and kind of coalesce some ideas, you know, go over some things that are going on in society, like the first episode, you know, talking about how I really feel about Black Friday. Things like that. And this episode, I'm going to be getting into the repeal of the Volstead Act, prohibition, and the regulation of personal choice in America. And it's going to get a little deep. It might get a little harsh. It's definitely going to get a little personal. But I sit here right now with my Caucasian mixed in my glass. It gets a little thick. Sorry, I don't know why I chose the most horrible drink in the world to actually enjoy on air, which is a milk-based beverage. So I've got some water backup. There we go. But I guess it was like, well, you know, we got to talk about it. We got to talk about prohibition. Prohibition was repealed 81 years ago yesterday. We will be getting into that and the cause and effect and everything else and the fallout whenever we get back from this message from our sponsor, guys.
Hey, you don't even have a license, Lisa.
Crazy drunk driver.
Hey, everybody. Chris Jordan, host of the Dudes and Beer podcast here. Has this ever happened to you? Tired of looking in your rearview mirror after a couple of drinks with friends or worrying about no-refusal weekends and DUI stops? Are you planning a night on the town and want an easy, safe way to get around while still having fun? Well, Fare is the ride service for you. Simply download the easy-to-use and free Fare app from the Google Play Store or iTunes Marketplace and use promo code DUDES10 every time you ride with Fare to save 10% off your ride. Have a Fare driver you liked riding with? You can not only give them a review and tip, but you can add them to your preferred drivers list on your Fare app and request them every time you ride with Fare. You can schedule rides with Fare to pick you up immediately or as far as 30 minutes to 7 days in advance, eliminating the need for last-minute calls and allowing you to pre-schedule pickups in locations other than your home city. Perfect for those traveling for business or for fun. So don't forget to stop on by and download that free Fare app and use the coupon code DUDES10 every time you ride with Fare to get 10% off your ride. That's right. Don't forget, the coupon code is DUDES10. So be like Dudes and Beer, everybody. Party safe, use Fare, and drink responsibly.
And we are back. And that ad brought to you by yesterday, the repeal of the Volstead Act. The Volstead Act, folks, was actually passed in 1919. It was the 18th Amendment to the Constitution, and what brought about the means for prohibition of alcoholic beverages in America. It came about as a means of a lot of propaganda, as a means of some of the first true lobbying to take place in America, and where it was specifically put forth that we needed to get rid of the drink. The drink was the problem. The drink was the ill of society. And it got passed. And then in 1933 was repealed with the passing of the 21st Amendment. For those few years, we really got to see a social experiment of America. We really did. Because there, before then, the first thing that passed before that was, and I'm trying to remember offhand, the act that brought about the FDA, brought about the fact that, you know, snake oil could no longer be sold, stuff like that. Those were some of the first regulatory laws that came about for drugs. And out of that came the prohibition movement. Now, out of the prohibition movement actually came the movement against marijuana as well. So that's what kind of boomerangs us into modern society, not just the society that we have right now. I mean, good Lord, I attended a conference not too long ago, a high-end law firm. And one of the meetings that they specifically had was about the issues of drinking in law. They started showing statistics of how many lawyers drink and drink heavily. And it was like, oh, wow, there's a lot of them, you know. And it was the same thing with doctors. It was the same thing with a lot of people with really high pressure jobs that had spend a lot of time isolated and away. So it was interesting to me, but at the same time, prohibition, when it came about, came with so many other things. That is what brought about the mass wave of crime for those many years. It's what allowed the Italian mob to really take a foothold and start, you know, exerting its power. People like Al Capone, stuff like that, who really were bringing about kind of a new era of violence when it came to smuggling and when it came to bringing in contraband alcohol and things like that. The movie The Untouchables is, of course, a great dramatization, but a good example of what things were like. And it's, to me, that's the danger inherent whenever you make something so forbidden. Number one, most of the time it's not anything that, I mean, is that most of society is going to take part in. You know, it's just the same thing with smoking marijuana. Not just because it's legal or decriminalized doesn't mean that more people smoke it. You know, that doesn't necessarily, because, I mean, hey, their jobs may still drug test for it, whether it's legal or not. You know, their job may still test for it. Their job may still have a stigma against it. So, you know, not everybody is free and clear, even in a state where it is legalized. Like Colorado or, you know, Washington State. Having these prohibitive laws and getting rid of these prohibitive laws really lightens the load on quite a bit of the legal system. Once you start basically leaving these things up to people's choice. You know, yes, you regulate them to a certain age, just like alcohol, just like cigarettes. You know, that's one of the things that people don't really realize about the deregulation of marijuana, the decriminalization of it, and then the ultimate recreational passage of marijuana, is that even if it's passed recreationally, it's still regulated to certain establishments. You know, you can't just like go out and twist up in the park and hang out next to the jungle gym and, you know, smoke a smoke a cigarette, a reefer, to put it into an old school term. You can't do that. Same thing as you can't just go out there and hang out with the six pack while your kid plays on the jungle gym. You know, people would look at you very strangely, and eventually a cop would come around or get called because there's some dude hanging out at the city park just drinking beer. The same laws apply. So it really, it comes down to the common sense of people, and it comes down to the fact of, you know, are we overburdening the legal system with something that should carry the same offense as, you know, a minor public intoxication charge, something along those lines, you know, just a misdemeanor instead of it being a felony, you know. And to me, it's the fact that there are a lot of people, even a good case here recently with the decriminalization laws, is Florida. Florida just put out some great legislation, I think. Now, apparently, the group of lawyers I was working with did not think it was great legislation. They thought it was horrifying. And I was like, but okay, you know, basically what they did was they decriminalized certain amounts of marijuana in Orlando, and in the outlying area of Orlando. And the main reason is it is a tourist city. A lot of people come there to hang out and stuff like that, go to Disney and everything else. And well, you know, while on their vacation, they may partake of somebody, selling them reefer. And or may even bring it with them whenever they drive over there. Now, the problem is, if you got caught there previously, that was a felony charge. If you were caught with marijuana in Florida, so and especially in Orlando. So that was something that was really like, wow, wait a minute. We're bringing people in to come for a vacation for a week, and then they end up catching a felony rap, you know, and they end up being on probation via distance, everything else, just because they had a small quantity of marijuana. You know, they aren't like going Miami Vice level here, folks, with like pounds and pounds and pounds. Like I said, they brought a personal use quantity with them. And because they got caught with it there, they get to do the full on effect. So, they passed some great legislation decriminalizing certain amounts so that people that were coming in, it's no more than a ticket. You know, you can pay the ticket via distance. You don't have to come into court. You don't have to stay there for court. You won't get arrested or anything like that. And I think that is probably one of the best things that they can do for their community. Now, granted, like I've said before, using marijuana, drinking even, is not for everybody. It's not a choice that everybody makes in life. And that's really the question that we're bringing about here, is the regulation of choice. The regulation of somebody's individual choice, and we have a lot of laws in place that have regulated choice in the past. We have a lot of laws in place to assure the fact that choice is protected. And that's really what America is about to begin with, is the right to choose. It's your right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And in order to do that, we have to make choices. Now, there's a lot of things that you get consequences from choices, number one. So anytime that you make the choice, you have to realize that if there are any consequences to be paid, you have to be ready to pay those. Just like the choice of not getting health care. If you don't get health care, you will be fine. Now, the logic of that is that that is not a choice. That's just a tax on a personal decision. And if you don't make it the way that they want you to make it, they're going to tax you on it. And that, to me, was pretty jacked up. But to me, trying to regulate somebody's choice is directly regulating their freedom. It's directly regulating their free will. Yeah, I do come from a Catholic background. And the fact is, the choice is always yours. The choice is always ultimately up to you. It's you that makes that decision. And anyone that isn't taught that as a child, I really, really feel for them, because they end up leading lives that go to horrible, horrible places. That may perhaps be where some of the prohibition law came from, is, you know, there were people that went to horrible places back in the day. There were, you know, especially in the time of the Depression, the time that that happened, there was a lot of bathtub gin making and things like that going on. So the people were in a bad place, and mixing that with alcohol may not have been the best decision, but what ended up happening was a massive crime wave. I mean, heck, we have NASCAR now because of prohibition. NASCAR came about because of the cars that people would build and soup up to be able to handle the loads of moonshine and be able to outrun the police. So to be able to outrun the revenuers, as they were called, the people who wanted to tax you on the making of moonshine, making of alcohol. So, yeah, there's so much culture in America that has stemmed from this, and from this period of prohibition that was only about, what was it, 12 years, something like that. But interestingly enough, 12 years that caused a great divide in America. You know, there were speakeasies all over the place. Every town had a speakeasy. Everybody knew where the speakeasy was. But, you know, and most of the time, the cops are either paid off to leave the speakeasy alone, or, hey, they were at the speakeasy themselves after work. So, you know, there was kind of a turning a blind eye to a lot of that. And every once in a while, one would be taken down to make the example. But it wasn't until real crime started raising its head and started doing its nastiness, and turf wars started and things like that, that things really went awry whenever prohibition was around. That's one of the concepts behind legalization, is if you take it off the street, you take the power away from the gang. You know, what does the gang then have to sell? What does the criminal then have to sell if they don't have the illegal substance? If the substance is now legal, then they are depowered immediately. They don't have a market in which to sell stuff. So it makes things different. We'll see what happens. We'll see what susses out with the decriminalization across America so far. In the few years that it's been legal in Colorado, the first year or so, they got a lot of people on DUIs, driving while high, you know, driving while intoxicated, pretty much. And, you know, that's understandable. You're not supposed to be driving on it. You're either supposed to go get it from the dispensary, get it home, or, you know, do the same thing that you do at a bar. And there are now bars that allow it, and there are bars that sell it. stuff like that. So it's the fact of they have shown and shown increasingly, but I want to say the first year they showed 6 times the sales tax of marijuana to liquor. And all of that was earmarked for schools and programs like that. So that's an incredible gain on behalf of those tax beneficiaries, the people that will be receiving the actual benefits of the tax money from that industry. And it's fantastic. And, you know, I don't know. I don't see Texas going too much longer, really. Not with the way other states are making money. It's a common sense thing, you know. It's the same thing as alcohol. Not everybody should be drinking alcohol. You know, should we go around licensing people to drink alcohol? No. People should absolutely know themselves. Like I had lunch a little while ago. Had a nice breakfast. So I poured myself a nice little drink to do the show with because, hey, we're talking about the end of Prohibition. I'm not going to do a show from Dudes and Beer about the end of Prohibition without having a drink. So, yeah, we're having a shot of potato vodka amongst some Kahlua and milk. So, nothing too outlandish or crazy. I don't know. If for me, the regulation of people's choice, the regulation of letting people follow what they want to do, you know, there's some limitations that you can put in, most definitely, but to absolutely regulate someone into a decision or to regulate somebody in their individual choice, I think is far against what we stand for here. That's why the law was eventually repealed. Really, the law was eventually repealed because they realized that, you know, we can't. That's a choice that we have to let people make. You know, number one, it's a great source of revenue. It's a great source of tax, and we're really, really missing that. But above all, it's the fact that we have to let people make their own choice. We have to let people decide for themselves. We have to make people not only decide for themselves, but make them be accountable for their decision, you know? And to punish everybody else for the poor decision of a few people removes the freedom of those people, and that's pretty much, I think, what the thinking was when the repeal of Volstead came around in 1933. And it's been 81 years, so, you know, it's pretty wild to think about. At one point, what is now one of the most common things, like, you know, probably the three biggest sales for any convenience store are fuel, tobacco, and alcohol. By far. Fuel, tobacco, and alcohol. And if you don't have one of those three, the likelihood of your corner store being really, really successful is going to dip a little bit. You know, so... Yeah, it's a part of America. It's a part of what we do. Everybody, and it's not just America. It's the world over. Everybody likes to drink. There are countries where you can't drink, and that's normally because they're countries under religious rule. They're countries where you have to dress a certain way, you know, curfew is at a certain time, stuff like that. And we can definitely admit that's not what America is about, and that's not what we want to be about. So, by default, you should be able to have a drink. I mean, good God, the main thing that we started from was a bunch of dudes sitting around in a bar having a discussion. That's a lot of reason why we started this show, Dudes and Beer, was because somewhere along the lines, talking about religion, spirituality, politics, economics, things that really matter in our society, things that impact us, somehow or another, the conversation in bars, the commonplace of gathering for people, became about nothing but sports and everything else, became distraction instead of what really matters. And those topics became anathema. You weren't supposed to talk about them anymore in public. And how are we supposed to have a dialogue? How are we supposed to hear differing opinions? How are we supposed to think with a more open mind? How are we supposed to, as the title of this segment is called, think deeply? How are we supposed to think deeply without any other input other than our own? And I mean, I know people that have been friends for years that in this election this year found out things about their friends that they were like, oh my God. I mean, like family members that were like, oh my God, I didn't know that they thought this way. And it's like, you have known this person for what, 28 years? You, and like closely, you didn't realize that? You didn't know that? You know, like how can you say that you actually knew that person if you didn't know that? Like, I knew that. I just accepted that. That's just how they are, and that's okay. That's America. They're allowed to be that way. I'm allowed to be this way. You're allowed to be that way. We can all be whatever way we want to be. As long as your way ain't impeding my way, as long as we aren't getting in each other's way and stomping on each other's rights at any point, then we have no problems. So that's how it's supposed to be. And I think that's why Prohibition was struck down. And I want to thank Billy Stewart. I meant to do it at the beginning of this show. I think I may have mentioned, it was the history session, the history section at the beginning of the Scary Dad podcast that we did on Krumpus, episode 8 of Scary Dad. Go check it out, guys, scarydad.com. We were talking about, you know, this day in history, and he was saying that, you know, Volstead was repealed on yesterday, on Krampusnacht, on December 5th. And I was like, oh, wow, you know, that's crazy. That's crazy. I need to talk about that. So we were doing normal Dudes and Beer tonight, but I'm actually going out with my lovely wife to see Dolly Parton. And that's going to be great. It's going to be super fun. I can't wait. I haven't been out to a show to enjoy myself in a long, long time. It's going to be super fun. And then I have like 3 straight days of work. so I was like, I have to get an episode done. And just thinking about this topic all day, thinking about this topic all morning, and just the idea, just the concept of, for some people, it would be okay to restrict your personal choice. That it would be okay to pass laws saying you're not allowed to make your personal choice on a certain decision. And they're okay with that. That to me, thinking deeply on it, is what disturbs me. That to me is what scares me. And a lot of people are scared that, you know, that's what's going to happen with this upcoming administration. And I really don't see that necessarily happening. But there have definitely been some issues with the First Amendment. There have definitely been some issues with the media and things like that that have been like, oh, wow. You know, the things that they've said and the means by which they've been able to control dialogue and do stuff have been just wild. And, you know, people are talking about passing laws to regulate personal decision. And I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like that talk. I don't think it makes a lot of personal sense. I don't think it makes a lot of sense in the history of our country and in what the Constitution stands for. I've said it before. I'll say it again. To me, the Constitution is not a living document. It's not a living document. It is a social contract. It's a contract. And people who sign up for these jobs like lawyers, sheriffs, you know, our congressmen, the President of the United States, that's why they swear an oath to protect this contract, to keep this contract sacred, to make sure, and that's why there are rules at the end of the contract on how to change the contract. And you got to have enough people sign off on the new change to the contract in order to change the contract, just like a contract. Imagine that, you know. So, yeah, to me, it's a social contract, and it's not something that can be easily changed or should be able to be easily changed. Whenever they did change it and pass prohibition, it was a pretty bombshell decision. Everybody kind of saw it coming, but it was still like, wow, I can't believe it actually happened. And then when the repeal came, it was, you know, jumping for joy everywhere across America. Life could be fun out in public again. And I mean, you know, it even goes, you know, because here in Texas, we had a lot of counties. I mean, even going to school in the 90s in the DFW area in Irving, Irving was technically a dry county, but you could, anywhere that sold food could serve. So, like, you know, if you went to Chili's, you could get a beer at Chili's, you know, stuff like that. But you couldn't go to the 7-Eleven and buy a six-pack. Now, when I lived in Arlington was liquor dry, so you couldn't go to the 7-Eleven and buy a six-pack, but you could go to the grocery store and buy a six-pack. You could buy it wherever food was sold and stuff like that. So, you know, there were all these wild rules, and then there were straight dry counties where you still couldn't get anything. I remember when Waco was still straight dry and you couldn't get anything. So, a lot of these rules still existed in a lot of rural counties, and some still to this day exist. I remember my aunt telling me a story about how they got in trouble bringing alcohol into Florida where it was a dry county. They just brought their beer with them to go to the beach, and they ended up getting caught by the law and getting in all kinds of trouble and threatening to be arrested and stuff like that for bringing a six-pack of beer with them to the beach from Alabama. But, you know, it's odd because a lot of these things still do exist. There are still dry counties in America. There are still places where prohibition is the law. You know, there are still places that are liquor dry where you can go and you can buy beer and wine, but you can't buy liquor. You know, even in Texas, we still have the old blue law, where you can't buy liquor on Sunday. You can't buy beer and wine until after noon on Sunday. You know, once noon hits, you can go out and you can buy a six pack at the corner store, or the grocery store. But liquor stores are closed on Sunday, pretty much statewide, so far as I know. And you know, that's just one of those remnants of that stuff. And you learn to live with it. You know, you learn to see those idiosyncrasies and understand it, but a lot of it comes from, I guess, ignorance and misunderstanding, and I guess it maybe even, you know, like to take Billy Stewart's side, because Billy Stewart, I know, would be straight logical about this. Much like I'm about to be, and be like, well, hey, you know, maybe in that dry county, it happened to be that whenever they did have alcohol, like, they noticed that, like, 70% of people were violent people in their county, and that, like, they had 70% more police activity whenever they had alcohol. So they banned alcohol, and suddenly the crime rate just went away. So maybe some places it's absolutely the case. I have no idea, but there are still dry counties. There are still places like that. And it's interesting the way that we are regulated by choice. And I guess what people forget is the impact of the choice that they make, and the longevity of the choice that they make in life. And that's what we have to learn as a country, as a whole, is that, you know, there is no quick solution to any choice. Some choices are, you know, yeah, absolutely. You make a choice to put 20 on red, in about 15 seconds, you're going to find out what happens, you know, and hey, the consequences of that choice, may not come out for a long time. And that's what we have to realize, is the consequences of our choice. The consequences of us putting the Volstead Act into place and putting prohibition into place was that we had a string of massive crime across America, selling illegal alcohol. And some of the alcohol was bad alcohol that was poison. And right now, you know, that's a lot of the big talk, like I said, about legalizing marijuana, is it takes it out of the hands of cartels. It takes away the illegal aspect and puts in at least federal regulations on how it's grown, how it's treated, how it's harvested, you know, how it's packaged, how it's sold, stuff like that, and provides an industry. And, you know, there are pluses, there are minuses on both sides, but for me, it ultimately comes down to regulation of personal choice. Whatever somebody decides to do in the confines of their home, that is their choice. That is their sanctity. That is that's the privacy of their home, you know. Unless they are absolutely doing harm to other people or something like that, whatever decision they make inside their home is their decision. As long as they are not harming society at large or other people, their decision is their own. And that's what I think on it. That's how I feel. And that's where I stand on the concept of prohibition and deregulation and, you know, the concept of trying to regulate personal choice. So, you know, on that, that's, you know, really, it's something that we all have to come to terms with. We all have to come to realize that our choice is our own. Nobody else makes our choice for us. Nobody makes us make a decision. We make that decision. We are ultimately responsible. And on that note, everybody, thanks so much for tuning in to this edition. We'll talk to you soon. I'm Chris Jordan. This has been Thinking Deeply with Dudes and Beer.
Thanks for listening to this installment of Thinking Deeply with Dudes and Beer. Tune in next time for more deep introspection, contemplative thought, and general musings on humanity and life, right here on Thinking Deeply with Dudes and Beer. Like what you heard? Feel free to tune into the other content by Dudes and Beer on dudesandbeer.com. Our content is also available on the Spreaker market, as well as SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, and your favorite podcast app. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the Revolution Digital Group family of podcasts. Thanks so much for tuning in, everybody. And until next time, drink responsibly.